Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about the ghetto, right? Yeah.
the ghetto. Yeah. Can y'all dig it out there? Can you dig it? Talking about the ghetto.
Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, talking about the ghetto, talking about the ghetto. Here we are again today on the Wednesday. We'll be here every day, Monday through Friday, talking about issues that concern the growth and development. Black businesses, black people, period, black education. And again, I need to constantly emphasize the fact that we're not promoting separatism. This black issue deals with black folk because black folk, we believe that in order to correct a problem, and there is a problem, you have to start at the bottom. We have to start at the bottom. And I don't want to sound as if we are demeaning or degrading black folk, but let's look at reality, you know, because I've been told that. Well, when you say that we are at the bottom, you make us feel like we are less than. Well, it's not my intent, but, you know, in order to solve a problem, you must first recognize the fact that there is a problem. And then, you know, and from a collective point of view, we are at the bottom. But there are those of us who accept that. And I say that you accept it because there's nobody out there doing anything to try to correct it. I'm trying everything that I can, and I can't get the support that I need. Now, there are those that are right there with me, fighting and pushing, hoping and understanding and seeing and knowing the situation. There are only just a few. And I was talking with a fellow colleague of mine today, to tell you the truth. And we were talking about these issues that negatively affect black folk in during the era when things were just so much worse. So much worse. We had trouble with means of communication. Not everybody had cars. Not everybody even had a telephone, more or less cell phone. But we had a little organization. We you know, I think at that time we were probably harnessed, and we had to be together. You know, they harnessed all up and put us in one little group, and. You know, and that's the way we had to stay, all of us. No exception. If you black, you're going to have to be over there. You black, you can't come in. Not just a few, all of us. And so the fight started. And those of us who fought, those of us who were, you know, when the fight, you're going to have casualties. And those of us who were victims of casualties of the fight that we fought, we never prospered. One or two of us, but the overwhelming majority of us suffered. And those of us who were the housekeepers sat back, watched us fight, never participated in any manner. And when there was a time to negotiate, and, all right, now we're going to have to, the white folk at that time realized that, okay, the whole nation has changed. We're going to have to do a little compromise. But see, we can't give none of the radical people out there any position of authority or power. What we're going to do is we're going to find those good guys, pictures of all those guys who are out there raising sand and arguing and fighting and putting and cutting little bricks and setting fires. And all. You know, take a picture of them so we know who they are. So we can make sure that we keep them down and we can look for these good guys as who sat back and pretty much praised up. Well, why y'all want to mess with the white folks? And we're going to get them and we're going to square in. We give all the rest of them, we'll give them $2. You know, because it doesn't take very much to buy a black man. And then we're going to make them, put them over their own and tell these guys, and then look, you guys are living good. We accept you, let you come into our place, and we can go join, you know, some of our organizations. But you got to be true and faithful to us. Because we are doing this for you. We are doing this. We're going to help your little children. So, and they tell us that. They get these positions, and then so many of us who say, oh, okay, if they're fine putting blacks in certain positions. So look at those blacks who have those positions. Like, I got to admit, they that have those positions, if they weren't sellouts, they wouldn't even have the position. If they weren't strong-willed and strong-minded and committed to fairness and equality for all peoples, then they would not have those positions. But there are other ways that they could contribute to the battle, to the fight for equality and justice. They can donate, they make it. More money, they can donate a little bit under the cup. Nobody I know, give us strength. Help us in means and ways of creating our own businesses. So they teach them what to do and how to run their business. But you teach us, they won't do it. And why is it that they feel that they owe us nothing? You know, I kind of watched a person, and I watched them. You know, we put our heads a lot in public settings where it's mixed company, And doing that mixed company thing, you think they're a white man up there. You're like, where is he coming from? And then I've observed that we tend to take those people and put them up on a pedestal. If these are our leaders, and then we bring them into a circle. Hey, tell us about it. And I'm listening to the whole conversation change. Now, I'm black, and I'm saying to the most hypocritical person. How could you be? How is it become you say to us? It's much different from how you say to them. Well, you know, I'm saying all that to say that, you know, this is election time. Well, almost. It's coming up. How is it that white people who have done us so much damage that we can go out and support you? I bring up all draconian, racist equities in all of our politicians. If you can ask anybody here in Florence, South Carolina, about Ed Robinson, I can tell you that I don't give my whole for equality for all people, most especially black people. Nobody will tell you that. If you hear anything about me, you hear that I'm a troublemaker. I don't know how to talk. One reason why, you know? And the things that I do are things reflect fairness and equality for all people. And I emphasize black people because we're the ones who suffer the most. And all the people who follow me at first identify. You have to first identify the problem. This is the Carolina Regional Black Team members, live radio show. With those two, Ed Robinson. Ed Robinson is a member of the Washington Council, fighting for fairness and equality for black people. I am the CEO and president of the Carolina Regional Black Team of Commerce Influence, CEO of the Carolina Regional Black Chamber of Commerce here in Florence. And you know, it is very difficult. You know, and I understand that, you know, Black Chamber of Commerce, that's new, even though there are black chambers all over the country. But it's new here. And for people to endorse the concept, Black Chamber of Commerce in part. See, you know, it's one way that you can really find out who's who and what's what. Because there are so many black businesses that will refuse to join the Black Chamber of Commerce. And yeah, we have a few black folk that are millionaires with these multi-million-dollar firms and businesses and restaurants, you know, places like McDonald's. They won't do it. They won't join. But you know, they look for us to support their business. Look for us to do what we can to help grow their business so that it can become more wealthy. And but when we ask them to help us, you know, grow the seed so we can be able to grow other businesses, And see, the more businesses that we own, the more people make, black folks, and the more money people make, the more money they're going to spend, and the more likely they're going to spend it with their businesses. But when I don't want to offend white people. That's what he told me. Well, you know, I got a good mixture of business, and I don't want to offend white people. But what about black folks? You know, when you look in the mirror, what do you see, man? But yet you don't want to offend white people. How is it that joining the black team of commerce offensive to white people? You got black people joining the regular chamber, but they can't afford to spend white folks. Well, okay, but you can participate in other ways. You can come to our event. I won't do that. I don't want to have a part of nothing to do with the black chamber of commerce. And it's sad. We don't have not one elected official that is a member of the Black Chamber of Commerce. Not one. We don't have a black lawyer that's a member of the Black Chamber of Commerce. But there are legal issues that arise for white folks. They have members. But you know, I know that we are, I guess what you call a panacea. We are out for the first time that there's been a black chamber of commerce. And the biggest problem has always been, you know, we have to be sustainable. We have to maintain. Because if we can't maintain this idea of a black team of commerce, I think in time that it is a must. We have to do it. And then when we look at all the things that happen, let's take the flags, for instance. There was a vigorous fight to remove the flag from the State House grounds in 1998, 1999, 2000, around in that time. So what we know, we're not going to do. But when it came to the point where they were about to lose a lot of money because of the existence, because of that flag flying over the State House, and we all know it happened because those folks died and put a bad scar on the state of South Carolina. Businesses and industries, they had threatened to pull out if we didn't move the flag. Those that were making preparations to come in, they were saying, we're not coming in if we do not move the flag. So the economic pressure of the big businesses, you know, we couldn't do it, those of us, because we were not united enough. You know, the money that we spend would have had enough impact to cause the same result if we could have harnessed that and channeled that in a way that the whole state would feel the result of it. But we are so separated. And, you know, we had a speaker, you know, we do the MLK March, Martin Luther King March rally every January during this birthday time. And we have a program, and we had a speaker, a civil rights attorney, Hemphill Pride. And though his speech was not on the flag, for some reason he threw this in. He said, that in order, the only way that this flag is going to come down is if we can jump up and holler all we want, but the only way it's going to come down if some white boys are going to have to come together to this place, they're going to have to come back. And that is exactly what happened. Because these white folk who had all the money, who were about to lose so much because of these large investors pulling out or threatening to pull out, we can't afford to. That flag is nice and we love it, but we love our money more. Flag has to come down. It has to come down. And see, you know, I thought about what our attorney said, help your pride. He said, that's what's going to bring the flag down. We will never do it. And his prediction is true. You know, it is that we are so stagnant and separated, bought out, sold out, or whatever, that we can't even control our own destiny. You know, I mean, but for a white folk, we are still being changed. And see, the fact that it was the right thing to pull the flag down months so ago. It was the right thing to pull it down in 1999. But they wouldn't do it. We're not going to do the right thing. We're going to make you suffer as long as we can. We're going to destroy as many lives as we can before we decide to do the right thing. As long as what we're doing is depriving you of your complete freedom and independence, we're going to continue to do that until there is no other choice but to do it. You don't even have the strength to do it now. It doesn't have to be that way. Does not have to be that way if we will work together more as a people. We have the resources to do what we need to do to grow black business. So many times I say, well, I worked too hard all my life just to go to these second class businesses. I need first class stuff. Well, what about the people that died and all these hell that you got? What about the lives that have been negatively impacted? Families, because you know how they kill them. Men. Children suffer. Young men, you know, driving out of school, not having the opportunity to do, to be a full-fledged citizen, to choose to be a full-fledged criminal. It's not, in most cases, in my opinion, the overwhelming majority of the time of the case, it is not the person that does it. It's the environment that they are forced to have to deal with. And those folks who are imposing these ideologies, they are the cause of our children failing themselves, get to the point where we have no more control. You know, we cannot discipline our children like we want to. Because if I would discipline my young children the way my mama disciplined me, then she doesn't love me. She's a bad mama. She doesn't deserve to have me. It'll turn me against my parents. It'll make it evil.
I mean,
that's their philosophy. But I belong to my mama, so why can't my mama raise me the way she did? Because the way that we are being forced to raise our children and discipline our children is not biblical. And, I just believe that tough love is pure love. I'd rather see my child suffer a little bit today than to suffer forever tomorrow. You know, you can't tell me if my mama didn't love me. My mama, my daddy, hey, they gave their lives for me, everything that they did, the work that they did, everything they did for me, but they made sure that I did the right thing. And if I didn't do it, I felt the consequences. You know, let's take the incident where the in Baltimore, when the mother attacked her son, she jumped on him, beat him up, and which I had no problem with it. And nobody else did. But had not it been in that environment, that's under those circumstances, she would have been deemed a bad mother. She would probably have been prosecuted. But see, you know, they know that what we do sometimes is a good thing. And it's so easy now for us to lose our children. I get complaints all the time. Parents losing your children for the simple means of discipline. They discipline their child the way they see fit because it worked for them. But today's society says, no, you can't do it for me. You have to raise your child the way we set the rules for you to raise your child. I know I get a lot of, I probably get a lot of, criticism on what I'm saying. But this is what I believe. We have to do something. The way things are going now is not working. So if it's not working, we have to change courses. You know, the definition of idiot is to do the same thing over and over and over and expect different results. So what we're doing is not working. We cannot continue to do it the same way. We cannot continue to do it the same week. I'm gonna take a break right now, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about elected officials and where we are, and what we need to do, and how we need to handle that situation. So, without any further ado, let's break the chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising. There's an army rising
They don't understand what's going on. They don't know. Because I hear all the time, well, man, I saw you on TV and at that council meeting, boy, you were telling them like it is. What was I talking about? I don't know what it was, but you were telling them. They don't know. They don't know. And these politicians, when they come around, and how we sell our soul. And they come around and they pat you on the back and go to the preacher. You know, there's about $1,000 in the plate. You know, one thing this guy Donald Trump that he says makes a lot of sense. You know, when these guys come around and they offer you all this money, I mean, it's happening right here in Florence, and I bring it out, but it seems to have no effect. You know, I ran for mayor last time, and I had $3,000 and the white mayor had $60,000. Black folk gave him twice as much money as I had all together. And the other thing was, we can't have this radical guy running the city of Florence. But you know, my main reason, and I guess I can tell you that, was not to win. That wasn't my primary objective. We're only like 47% of the population. White, I know I can't get white votes. So chances are he was going to win. But can you tell me why I ran? Can you tell me why I ran? Just think about it. I ran really to show the power of the faith. And surprisingly, well, even though I did get the majority of the black vote, it was only 65-60%. And the plan that I had is really backfired in his favor. Because now he knows that I am the most powerful man, the most outspoken one in the black community. And the black folks, they don't even support my efforts. Even though everything I do is for their interest. So I don't even have to even listen to him anymore. Well, we got to listen. But I don't have to adhere to what is for them. And that is exactly what happened. I have been ostracized, put in the corner, but I can't get nothing through. They don't even pay me any attention anymore. And it hurts. That's the thing that hurts. It doesn't bother me about what they do. It bothers me that they can get our leadership to support these efforts that are against black people. Where are our ministers? Where are our civic leaders? Nowhere to be found. When it comes down to doing what it takes to help black people be more focused. They're not there. Now, I need to talk about next Saturday, a week from today. I'm a week from Saturday coming. I'm doing a sit-in. I'm asking as many folk as will come. Hopefully, you will come. See, because these kinds of things don't happen unless I do. If I don't do it, it doesn't happen. Things are status quo. I am the fly in the middle. It's sit-in that I'm going to do is more or less a protest. There are those that will be there, but it is a protest against the, we are right in the middle of the revitalization of downtown. Those of you that do not know, I mean, I guess you can look at what happens in your downtown areas if you have one, if there is a revitalization project going on. I know it happens, and it's just happening all over. We are not getting our fair share of the economic development growth. We're not getting our fair share of the construction contracts. We're not getting our fair share of the loans. I mean, we're just totally out of sync. And the whole process that has been happening all over, at one point, 6-7 years ago, I'd say this kind of stuff would never happen in Florida because the people would not allow it. But how long have I been? We got a young man who has become mayor. The people think he's God. Lord, have mercy. His strength. Yeah, I guess we can find out. Those that don't know, you should do research on it. Kind of take in like a Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton that we love so much has been harsh, more harsh on black folks than any other president I know. But we love him so much that we call him the first black president. And yet Black Lives Matter jumped on him, on Hillary, his wife, for endorsing these draconian concepts when he was president that caused black folks so much grief. It is just there. But back to the Roy Adams Breezeway, downtown Florida. In the 100 block of West Evans Street is where we will be on Saturday the 29th of this month at 11 o'clock a.m. Bring your little lawn chairs. Now, let me emphasize, bring your lawn chairs. Unless you like to stand up. Because it's a little breezeway, and we got maybe 4 or 5 benches, and I think it would probably accommodate maybe 25 baby people, if that means. But we are hoping to have 100 plus. If we can have 100 plus, I feel that it would have been a success. But then there are certain ones that I know ain't going to be there. You can have no preachers there. You will have some preachers from some of the smaller churches. But from the top 5 churches, the larger churches here in Florida, black churches, they ain't going to be there. You can have no, maybe one, if he comes. No black elected bishops there. They ain't coming. You can have no civil rights leaders there. They ain't coming. They are taking their position and using it to promote their own personal gain. On the back of us people, those of us who have to suffer the consequences of making life better for them. And they have to understand and realize that we have forced the system to accept some of us, which happen to be them, because of our efforts fighting for freedom. And then they've chosen those select few who are not doing anything or saying anything. Because the system lets them live a little better than the rest of us. Because they are pretty much controlled by the system. Because of federal law and the way things look, that you have to have a certain amount of diversity, and those select few are always the ones that they use to show the diversity. But we got this one, this one, this one, this one. They're always, and then they help these black businesses get up. Don't do a doggone thing for the people. You know, well, they gave them a loan. Why did you get the loan? Because we are putting pressure. Those of us who are out there marching in the rain and snow and whatever, in front of these banks and loan companies and says, hey, you don't give black folks money, but you choose one or two black folks give them money. And they give all the credit to the bank for giving them money and none to us. And the banks label us as troublemakers, and they're good guys because we gave them the money. You know, in order to fix the problem, you have to recommend it. You know, like when you renovate a house. When you renovate this house, you have to go in and pull up before you can fix it. So we have to come into our own house and look at the problems that we got and say, hey, you ain't with us, so we can't be with you. We have to start a whole new regime to fight this radical, draconian system that we're having that's taking the lives of our children, taking the future away from a black generation. We need to go back to this old saying of,
summer, shine it off.
I say we want to quit moving. If we get what we deserve, we'll be beautiful. And we've been gone. We've been really bad, talked about. As you and you moan. Just as you, as it takes you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. For ourselves, we're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else.